Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you today. There have been a lot of calls for more rigorous mental health screening in the aftermath of the Germanwings plane crash. But what if you could do away with the position of pilot altogether? Commercial flight is already being heavily automated. In fact, in a recent survey of airline pilots operating Boeing 777 flights, on average, those pilots spend just 7 minutes actually piloting the planes manually. And in the future, new advances in airline technology could mean we reach a point where it could be feasible to fly a commercial jet entirely with robots and remote technology. Amy Pritchett is an associate professor of aerospace engineering at Georgia Tech, and she's with me now. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Let's get right to it. Would you get on a flight today with no human pilot?
No.
Would you 15 years from now?
Probably not.
Okay, and this is part of the issue here. The technology is capable. We're going to talk about what robots and artificial intelligence can potentially do on planes, but you're a person just like me, and a lot of people don't want to fly unless a person is in the cockpit, right?
That's true. I have the experience here that I'm actually working on developing and building those systems and then looking at how the pilots interact with them. On average, air transport pilots only fly the airplane by hand a few minutes every flight. But what I'd like to note is that those few minutes that they are flying are the important minutes. The minutes where we're taking off, we're landing at a place that doesn't have the navigation aids for automation to follow down to landing on their own, when there's a collision avoidance alert and the airplane suddenly needs to be maneuvered, or if anything on board the airplane breaks or it has some unexpected behavior, if there's a need to maneuver around weather. It's those minutes that the pilots are flying. And I'd argue that those are pretty critical minutes that we still need the pilots for.
So with all of the rapidly advancing guidance technology, navigational technology, even landing technology that's used in a lot of aircraft and will be used, you still think that it's not at the point in the immediate future when you could safely pilot an airplane with commercial passengers on board?
We can design automation that works well in expected, normal, nominal conditions. But what we can't design automation for right now is to respond to the unexpected, the unusual. And we're finding that there's malfunctions in flight, many of them small, but still requiring some interaction from the pilot in about 20% of the flights. Something is needed by the pilot to set things right. And in most cases, the vast majority of cases, they're fairly simple. The pilot flies by hand for 1 minute while the other pilot resets a circuit breaker that popped because of a little surge in a circuit. Something very small. But it's only recently that we've analyzed flight data recorder data and realized that these things are so common that, yes, 20% of the flight is our current estimate.
So one of the ideas, and of course, we can all see how airlines and everybody else in commercial aviation would love to cut costs eventually, the military too. A lot of people have had the idea, well, you could cut human pilots in half, still have a human pilot, but then a co-pilot could be back at an office or a base in Milwaukee or Cleveland or someplace like that and co-pilot a couple of dozen planes simultaneously or at least in succession because you only need them for a minute or two per flight to be a human co-pilot. They could do that remotely.
Yes, and there has been a lot of talk about it. Indeed, we would still need the remote co-pilot because if we have one pilot on board, the chance of that pilot becoming incapacitated, whether it's a heart attack or a stroke or the fish dinner that they were served by the flight attendant during cruise, any of those causes are more likely than the safety standards we have. And so we still find that one pilot alone in the cockpit isn't enough. And a lot of the technology that's flying right now was built and developed initially in the 70s and 80s, and it's really proven itself in cruise in many fairly normal and stable parts of flight. But we still have these other times, especially around landing, where the autopilot can't do it. The autopilot can land the airplane if everything on the airplane's working, if all the engines are running, and if the airport itself has the radio navigation aids to steer the airplane down to land. But that's not always true. We have our small regional jets going into small airports where the airport itself doesn't have the navigation system, the instrument landing system to bring the airplane down. and the pilot has to execute the landing itself. It's interesting to think, too, if returning to your distant pilot somewhere in a center, then what we would have, if we're worried about security, is lots of airplanes being controlled from one central location. And the security hazard that that would pose is very interesting. We already have a bit of an equivalent with the air traffic control centers, and a disgruntled contractor employee last September broke into Chicago area air traffic control center, set it on fire, and tried to commit suicide. That brought much of the air traffic control in the Midwest to the halt for several days with massive flight delays. And in that case, what they did is they told the pilots to fly out of the Chicago area to other areas where the control centers were active. If, on the other hand, that air traffic control center had also been controlling the aircraft from the ground, then we would have had a much larger and more significant incident.
That situation means that you have many, many flights vulnerable from one single place. You take over one place, it could affect thousands of flights instead of individual planes.
That's correct, yes. So we talk about hardening the cockpit doors for security reasons, but if we have the airplanes being controllable from the ground, then that ground location becomes a massive target itself. And it's vulnerable both to intentional deliberate acts, but also to things such as power concerns, communication blockages, somebody jamming the radio signals up to the aircraft.
So where does this go? Who wins in this battle between saving millions of dollars on pilot costs and passengers who just aren't going to do it?
I'm not certain that the economic costs really have been fully evaluated. It's easy to say that we could have the cost of the pilots by going from two pilots in the cockpit to one, or just eliminate them. But really, we would be shifting a lot of costs to the ground and adding costs on the ground. So we would be talking about having pilots on the ground who can fly the airplanes. They'd also need to be very trained, very experienced, and indeed their job would be tougher. They would be switching from airplane to airplane that needs attention. And you'd want to make certain that you had plenty of them so that if there's some substantive issue, large thunderstorms at a busy airport, for example, you have enough ground pilots to take over. So we know right now that we operate in a way where we capture the big safety issues before the flight ever takes off, but we know that there's also things that can come up in flight, and we would have to spend a lot more money to develop the airplanes that can handle those unexpected things and have the staff on the ground that would prevent the maintenance issues, to have the staff on the ground that would be trying to respond when the airplane's in the air to those issues.
Amy Pritchett is an associate professor of aerospace engineering at Georgia Tech. Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.